I was in Texas, and guess what we did? We rang the Angels down.
That's the voice of Ron Washington, the new manager of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Once we get things together and we get these guys together in spring training and start the work, our whole focus is going to be to run the West down. And you can take that to the bank and deposit it. So,
a baseball lifer who's gone from scrappy utility player to the winningest manager in Texas Rangers history to just another coach in the bigs, and now back to the manager's office.
Well, I mean, I've known Wash damn near 30 years now, so it's always sort of strange at this stage in both of our careers to actually write pieces about him, because at some point you sort of cross some of those lines and you become friends in some ways.
Senior ESPN journalist Howard Bryant has witnessed Washington's journey as a reporter and as a friend.
So when Wash got the Angels job, I was very hesitant about writing about him, because I really don't think I'd written a word about him in 10 years since he'd left the Rangers.
Howard got the opportunity to connect with Wash earlier this season.
So to get a feel for him of what those 10 years were like, what, you know, sort of where he was at, sort of what this new challenge is as a 71-year-old man doing this one more time and getting that second chance, you get a lot of nostalgia because he's a pure baseball man. And I don't know if all your listeners, Clinton, sort of know what that means. It means that, you know, the work coming first in terms of really relating to players on a really granular level. And you're trying to combine that with analytics and launch angle and the modern player and all of this. And so Wash is just fascinating to me.
30 years is a long time. What was Wash doing when you first met him?
It's funny. I was making more money than Wash when we first got there. He was third base coach for Art Howe back then, because the A's paid so well. He was making $50,000 a year. And to give you an idea of what baseball was like back then, my first year on the beat was 98. You're on a $50,000 coaching salary, and you've got to maintain two houses. One is your house in New Orleans, and the other is trying to make it work in the Bay Area. It was really, really different. But Wash was always still the same guy in terms of the work.
I wonder what that was. I wonder, was that the grass? I wonder, was it a divot? I wonder what it was. I wonder
in my eyes.
He had a young team back then. He had young Miguel Tejada, a young Eric Chavez, a young Jason Giambi. You know, Wash dealt with them just from a real teaching standpoint. But also there was something else happening there too. And that was, he had put his time in, and really one of the reasons why he was coaching was to get his pension. You need those 10 years in the big leagues to get your pension. And what was fascinating about him was those were the years where he began to see himself differently. I'm not just a coach. I think I can lead. I think I can be a manager. And so during those years, 98, 99, 2000, when the A's start to become a good team, now his aspirations are starting to change. And instead of simply being, you know, one of the coaches or being, you know, being one of the soldiers, he's like, you know what? Maybe I'm a general too.
When I met with Ron Washington at Angels camp this spring training, I discovered a man who had finally found his calling again. A man whose career focused on two things, grinding and teaching with integrity and honesty, even if generationally, he didn't fit the mold. While many coaches are trying to work their way into a managerial job, Wash has always been about getting the most out of his soldiers. But his MLB journey has had its ups and downs. So today, senior ESPN journalist Howard Bryant and I put Wash's baseball life under the spotlight and explain why this last chapter just might be his most impressive yet. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Wednesday, April 24th. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Ron Washington, it's one of those names that you recognize if you have more than a casual interest in baseball. Take me through why that is, Howard.
Well, because in the old days, when you were a manager, a lot of your coaches were really your drinking buddies. Not all those guys were serious baseball people in terms of, I'm here to help you be a great player, help you be a good player. And I think that with Wash, the reason why Wash got so much respect, the reason why people really gravitated toward him was because there's absolutely no pretension about Ron Washington. What you see is what you get. And that is something that a lot of people like to say they're about, but they're really not. When you're in a baseball environment, in that sports environment, who do you respect? You respect the people who can do what you can do. And if you can't do what they do, especially, you know, in that alpha environment, they're not going to respect you. And the thing that Wash always got was Wash got the most out of players. It was never about him, you know, and it's very rare. And I think that's one of the things that people really respected about Wash was that Wash wasn't trying to build a reputation off of you. He was trying to make you a really good player. And Wash has always been simply committed to the game of baseball. That level of authenticity is very, very hard to find.
For those who don't know, what kind of a ball player was Wash?
Wash was a defensive ball player, but Wash was a good player. Wash was a scrappy ball player. Wash was one of those guys who, you know, he played damn near, 1,300 games in the minor leagues. He's not a can't miss. He was no bonus baby. He was never that guy who everybody was waiting for to come up. Wash had to grind and grind and grind. The thing I love about Wash coming up in the early 70s is that that's really not the pathway for many black players. There used to be a saying in the 50s and the 60s, and maybe in the 70s as well, no blacks on the bench. And you think about it, most black players in the 40s, 50s, obviously it's the 50s and the 60s, they were great players. You had to be a really, really good player. You had to be a starter. And Wash was one of that first generation where you could be a black utility player. You know, one of the funniest stories, of course, was one of my guys, Gary Washburn, who covers the who was covering the A's with me back in the 90s, did a piece on Wash. And one day he referred to Wash as a ball player of limited offensive capabilities. And I think Wash hit 20 home runs in his whole career. And so Gary didn't think that was offensive at all, but that was offensive to a proud man like Wash. Wash was like, I was not limited. And the running joke, one of the things about Wash, every time you walked by Wash, when that story ran, he would walk by and go, my wasn't limited. He would always say that. And so that has become a running joke in baseball for about 25 years now.
Most people who know Wash, casual fans, will know him from managing the Rangers to back-to-back World Series appearances in 10 and 11. And he's also the winningest manager in the history of the franchise. But his tenure in Arlington was an interesting one. Let's start at the beginning, Howard, from what you know, and then we'll work our way back to how it ended.
Well, it started, you know, with the interview. And for me, having been with Wash in Oakland, this was a time when, you know, go back to Moneyball. Billy Bean is the guy in the early 2000s. And you know how it is in sports, football, baseball, whatever. It's coaching tree. And suddenly Billy's guys were now getting hired. Ken Maka got hired to manage the A's. Paul DePodesta got the GM job down with the Dodgers. And we were wondering whether or not baseball was going to treat Wash like a leading man. Was he going to get that chance? And so I remember I was driving up. I was at the Washington Post at the time, and I was driving up to Baltimore, and I got a call from Wash. He had just interviewed with the Rangers, and he was excited about the job. I didn't know if he was going to get it or not. I was always very fearful for Wash because he was a little older, and also because he didn't look the part. He didn't kiss up to people, you know, trying to get jobs. He wasn't in the broadcast booth second guessing everybody, trying to, you know, make himself look better. He was just all about the work. And as we know, a lot of those types of people, they get passed over. And so when Wash got the job with the Rangers, I was incredibly happy for him. And I called him up one day during the early years of the tenure. And I said, you know, how are we looking? And he's like, man, I hate this job. I was like, you hate this job. All you did, you wanted this job. All you did was talk about one day being a manager. Why do you hate this job? And he would say that these kids aren't men. And I can't talk to them. I can't relate to them. In today's player, if you try to give them some constructive criticism, they go behind your back. They'll go to their agent and the agent will go to the GM and nobody will come back to you. I don't have that relationship. He's like Tommy Lasorda, but we would never do that. So he was having that generational issue. And then two things happened. He connected with Michael Young, one of the best clubhouse leaders around. And then they went and got Adrian Beltre. And now all of a sudden you've got clubhouse leadership in there that represents the manager. And so now instead of these players who are upset about what's going on in the clubhouse, now Wash can go to those veteran leaders and chill out those players. And now that he's got a voice in that room and they just took off after that. And suddenly the players began to respect him. He began to connect with them better. And the result was back-to-back pennants.
Can you explain to the people what it is exactly that Wash does from an on-field standpoint that makes him such a good manager and made all his teams get better?
Yeah, well, the first thing Wash does, Wash don't lie to you. You know, baseball is a sport. It's not football where you get all amped up for 60 minutes and then you play. Baseball, you got to be even keeled because there's too many at-bats. There's too many days. There's too much downtime. There's too much everything. And so if a player wants to know his role, Wash will give it to you straight. He's a great, great communicator. The ability to reach players at their level, to say the things that they need to hear to support the team, but to also be protective of them. Are you looking out for my success or are you going to hang me out? And those guys who Wash connects with, they'll run through a wall for him. Because deep down, that authenticity, he believes in them.
His infield instruction is the stuff of legend on top of that. If you ever want to see some of the best drills you've ever seen a coach do, Google Ron Washington, or at least look it up on YouTube.
What are some of the drills you
first thing we do when we get out here is we start to isolate the hands. And then we come after the hands, then we go to the feet. We start with a small glove. And then we take it to a flat glove, and then we have him to take ground balls with the flat glove so he can continue to use his hands, and then we put depth on his hand.
You talk about all this leadership stuff, Howard, and how he managed to corral his own clubhouse. What went wrong?
Well, the first thing that went wrong was that he was using cocaine as manager of the Texas Rangers in 2009. All of a sudden, word was going around the league. I remember talking to some managers saying, damn, something's up. I just got asked to drug test. I'm like, drug test? Like a player? I'm like, yeah. So clearly somebody failed a drug test if you're asking 60-year-old men to submit to drug tests like they're steroid users. And Wash failed the drug test.
I'm not here to make excuses. There are none. I'm not here for sympathy. That would be asking too much. I fully understand that I disappointed a lot of people, my family, my players, my coaches. This was the one and only time that I used this drug. I made a huge mistake, and it almost cost me to lose everything. I'm sorry.
Here's a man who had given his life to baseball, and now it looks like it's all coming apart in 4 years. And so once he was notified that he had failed the drug test, once it looked like he was going to get suspended, once we all knew that this was going to be public, Wash packed his stuff. He just assumed that the general manager, John Daniels, and the president, Nolan Ryan, that they were going to fire him. And, you know, Nolan Ryan sat down with him and said, no, we're going to try to, you know, we'll get through this as a family. We'll get through this as a group, and saved Wash's career.
Initially, we were shocked, disappointed, angry. I mean, I think all the same things that probably our fans are feeling. And then we decided that we were going to work through it.
I remember when Wash told me that he submitted his letter of resignation and they said no, which is just such a kind of a mind-boggling thing when you think about how cutthroat the bigs are. The reason I bring that up, Howard, is because, well, you as a friend, what did you think at that point?
Oh, man, it was devastating. It was devastating because that's one of the reasons why you don't want to get too close to people you cover, right? We're not supposed to get that close to people that you cover because now you got to go ask him the hard question. Now you got to go do your job because, you know, he's a good man. and made a terrible mistake. And on top of that, it wasn't just that mistake, but once he survives that and they go to back-to-back World Series, and then you watch that team be as close to any team in baseball history has ever come to winning the World Series, having a two-run lead with two strikes and two outs, not once, but twice, and you don't win. And then in 2014, Wash resigns because of some murky situation that he had with adultery with his wife, and he just quit.
Ron Washington informed us that he is elected to step down, to resign as manager of the club in order to turn his attention to a personal off-the-field matter.
Here's the Washington statement. Today, I've submitted my resignation from the job I love in order to devote my full attention to addressing an off-the-field personal matter.
I'm at a very low time in my life. I'm sorry for breaking the trust that I had with my wife, and for disappointing my players, for disappointing my coaches, for disappointing Major League Baseball, and for disappointing the Texas Rangers.
I hold Wash in high regard as a manager. I think his record speaks for itself. Wash has done a tremendous job for the organization, and I'm grateful for his contributions and his friendship.
I wanted to give a final thanks to the fans, the Texas Ranger fans. You've been good to me, and I will miss you. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
And my sources had told me that he was not supposed to manage again, and he didn't for 10 more years, which is why I thought this was such an interesting story, that after a decade, here he is back in a manager seat.
Coming up, Ron Washington's road to redemption takes him back to the Golden State. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. One of the places he landed was, of course, in Atlanta, where they ended up winning a World Series title with another brother, EY Sr., across from him as the first base coach when he was the third base coach. How do you think he got back into the game?
Respect. And it was Billy Beane that brought him back in 2014 after he resigned. I was told that people in the commissioner's office had said he's never going to manage again. And managing is one thing, but working in the game is another. And in less than a year, it was obvious how much respect people in the sport had for him. Billy Beane and Bob Melvin over in Oakland especially, and they brought him back because they need his teaching. He's very, very good at what he does. He's excellent at what he does. People respect him as a baseball person. They respect him as a human being. And I think people understand that people are fallible. And Wash is very vulnerable. He's very human. He didn't hide. Wasn't me. I didn't do it. Lawyer f- me. He didn't do any of that. He was like, I did it. My mistakes. I hurt myself. I hurt my family. And he stood up. Oakland brought Wash back into the game. And then Atlanta went and brought him. You know, he actually he had applied for the job. He was the second guy to the job when Brian Snicker got it. And they brought him into the fold once again out of respect because they know how good he is with the infield and they know what a presence he is. And that, you know, I think that respect and that work ethic and all the things that people know about him saved his career. And he hung in there and that prohibition is now over and Artie Moreno brought him in.
What did he do for 10 years?
Arch was coaching. He went back. And I think, and that's also the thing about the ego. He comes into Oakland and maybe he knows I'm never going to manage again after what I did to myself. But that doesn't mean I can't contribute.
He's a pro at using that pad. And I don't take it easy on him side to side, Marcus. He's going to put his hand on the ball.
There are a lot of people in the sport that once you become a manager, that's all they want to do. They're not going to go backwards. They're not taking any demotions. And Wash was like, no, I can swallow my ego. I'm not a manager. I'm a baseball man. And so he goes to Oakland for 2 years and then he goes to Atlanta, you know, for the last several years. And now, you know, so he stayed in the game. He wasn't out of the game that long. And once again, because we know this game is a closed business and it's a ruthless business. And if you're black in the game, it's a very closed, very ruthless business. So there's no guarantee that he was going to be in the sport, never mind managing again.
Wash is in his first season as the manager of the Angels, a development that's kind of brought his career full circle. His first moments at the big league level were with the Dodgers. That's where he played. What did he tell you about being back in the LA area?
So Wash is 71 years old and hasn't managed for 10 years. He's been in the game. And so I don't think he worried so much about whether or not he could relate to players, but he was worried about what was the culture that I was walking into. How am I going to relate to these guys? What is happening in Southern California right now? And what's happening in Southern California is you've got an Angels team that had Trout and Ohtani and didn't even make the playoffs. You had two of the greatest players of all time. And that team didn't even come within 10 games of first place. And so it was very, very clear that what they wanted, what they needed was a presence like Wash to get people excited about the sport. And I'm talking inside the clubhouse and outside of the clubhouse.
I was in Texas, and guess what we did? We rang the Angels down. So now I'm in California with the Anaheim Angels. Well, the Los Angeles Angels. I'll get that in my head. Once we get things together and we get these guys together in spring training and start the work, our whole focus is going to be to run the West down. And you can take that to the bank and deposit it.
So I think he took this challenge when I first saw him in Tempe. And, you know, you were down there. The whole thing was recreating new habits. Is this a country club? No, we're going to make this a baseball team. We're going to try to, you know, we're going to bring in some of that presence, that influence. So I think the thing that I don't think he was looking necessarily backwards about, you know, coming full circle with the Dodgers. I think he's looking at the challenge at hand, because Southern California, especially the Angels, have always had that reputation of just being a little bit lax, not, you know, outside of those Socia years where they were going to the playoffs every year, that are these guys tough enough to be real big league players?
You know, one of the most interesting things about this whole scenario is who is actually on the team. He's not managing Shohei Ohtani anymore, but
that's right.
He's got Mike Trout, and Mike Trout is stealing bags out of nowhere all of a sudden. What do you think about the on-field effect of Wash being the skipper?
Well, I think that to me, whenever I assess a baseball team, I always ask the question, is this a 40-game team? Is this an 80-game team? Is it a 120-game team? Or is it a 162-game team? And this team is a day-to-day team. Every day I look at the standings and you just try to keep them hovering around 500 just to see what they can do. I'm really interested in Mike Trout. Mike Trout is a guy who has made it very, very clear that he's going to ride or die with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
You know, coming in, you know, just the energy he brings. You know, when things aren't right, he fixes it. You know, the motivation every single day. Being unselfish, just being a team guy, and you know that's what it's gonna take to win here. And we got a good team chemistry, and he's big on that. Just, you know, trusting everything we do, and you know, it's been great so far.
Mike Trout has been in the playoffs once, and the playoffs have been expanding like mad. The baseball playoffs, anyone can make the playoffs in baseball now. So I'm hoping that the influence of Wash's baseball energy, I'm hoping it gives Trout a boost so everyone can see just how good he is and how good he was. I hope that the body will allow him to do that, because that's the other thing. Who knows what Mike Trout is feeling every day he runs out into the outfield. But in some ways, when I think about him, I think about that Kevin Garnett moment as well, where it's like, am I going to spend my whole career here where nobody really gets to see how good I actually was? So I think it would be really great for Wash. It would be great for baseball and really great for Mike Trout for them to put a team around him. So he has never been on the national stage. We need to see him in October.
Last thing I'll ask you, this team is hovering around 500 right now. They're playing pretty good baseball, but I think about this a lot when I think about guys that get hired into positions where you say, okay, good for them, or this is going to be a great situation, which is, what is the measure of success here? What does that look like in terms of how far this team has to go? What has to come out of any given season in order for the Halos to say, Wash, you did a good job?
Yeah, that's a great question. What is the expectation here? I think nobody is expecting this team to win the World Series. I don't know how many people are expecting this team to make the playoffs. However, you did have an 84-win team make the World Series last year in Arizona. So with the playoffs being as expanded as they are right now, maybe you can get hot. Maybe you can get there and get one of those spots. If you can, I think that, you know, the Angels weren't a bad team last year. Then they got hit with a bunch of injuries in June, and then that was it. So to me, I think that the expectation, they can't blow up. They can't drop 100 games. I think that two things have to happen. One, you've got to see the type of effort on the field that makes you feel like you're in an upward trajectory. And two, I think if they are within 5 or 6 games of a playoff spot in September, mission accomplished.
Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, no, thank you for this, Clinton. But I do have a question for you. Let me turn it around on you. You were down there before I was. What's your expectation of the Angels? What did you see down there? Like you were out there. What did you see?
That's a good question. I think it's basically a matter of respectability, and how different teams define that depends on who's in your front office. But I do think there is a sense that the Angels simply are not a respected franchise. And if you can get an effort out of Trout, like you said, and you can have some Wash-like tendencies that are obvious in stolen bases, in defensive fielding percentage going up a ton or whatever, I think that's the success. I mean, what Artie was going to sell the damn team, for God's sakes. You know what I'm saying? And then just kind of said, nah, I'm good. So, like, that's another factor that makes it a really difficult thing to ascertain is what does he want? Because if you were literally on the way out and then you weren't, but then you had the Ohtani situation, I feel that this is closer to the Astros, but just, like, without all the stain. You just need some respectability in the building, and Wash is a big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, the word that kept coming up every day I was in Tempe, and I was down there for a week, was country club.
Yeah.
But Perry keeps bringing in guys that don't have any big league experience. And so Wash is looking at these guys going, they think they're big leaguers because they're here. But you got 11 games of professional baseball under your belt. Don't come in here thinking you're entitled. I think Wash, to me, I think the expectation is calluses. Can you put some calluses on these guys and make them believe that they can go out there and compete day in and day out? One of the things that Wash had said was when he was with Atlanta, those guys needed a day to reset when they lost the game. He goes, these guys, even in spring training, they'll drop 3, 4, 5 games before they recognize, hey, we got to go get them tomorrow. He goes, if you do that, you're going to lose 100 games.
Howard Bryant, you sly dog, turning the questions back on me. I like it. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.